Hi, everyone, and welcome to Premier League Payoff, the soccer podcast that's part of the Total Sports 24/7 network. This is Chris Hayes, the host and producer for this podcast and all podcasts across the Total Sports 24/7 network. You can find us at our website, totalsports247.podbean.com, or wherever it is you listen to your podcast. Any major podcast platform, any major provider carries us here at the Total Sports 24/7 network. So just search Total Sports 247 on your preferred platform. We should come right up for you. Hit the subscribe button. Please leave a five-star review. Please like the podcast on the platform and spread the news about the network. We're trying to amplify our media presence here in the next month or so. So hopefully we won't just be on Podbean itself. They're a great platform for us in terms of distribution, but we want to get to other media channels as well. We're going to expand to YouTube at some point, I believe in the month of May. That's the goal, at least, and maybe get some other social media working, like an Instagram, maybe do some live shows on X, where you can find us at totalsports_247. All those sorts of things. It's high time to get this network really up and running, and we're excited about all the upcoming shows that we have for you, and all the events that are taking place in May. It's a really exciting month across the sports landscape, and one of the sports that's so exciting is soccer, particularly the Premier League, because it's ending right around Memorial Day, I believe. Three or four games left for each of the teams in the Premier League, and it's going right down to the wire at the top and the bottom of the table. So for this episode, we will take a little bit of time up front to talk about what's going on at the top and the bottom of the table, and then preview some of the games this weekend. We have two for Saturday and one for Sunday. So just three games. So we'll set the scene a little bit here at the top, since it's been a little bit of time since we've been with you. So when we look at the standings, we've got Arsenal in first, and we were beating that drum a lot for Arsenal. We were big fans of this team here on Premier League Payoff, and they have shown to be at least one of the top two teams in the league as of now. They have shown good form recently with a 2-0 win over Wolves, a beatdown of Chelsea 5-0 on the 23rd, and then getting past Tottenham in what was a dicey affair, 3-2 on April 28th. Coach Arteta even said that he was praying during the end of that game. Arsenal had a 3-0 lead and nearly squandered it, but managed to hold on. So they have a game, or they've played one more game than Man City has. So they've one more point, but also one more game. So nothing is decided as of yet. Arsenal has 80 points. Man City, with 34 games played, has 79. And the ever-important goal differential story that we've been talking about for months here might come into play. Arsenal's goal differential is 57. Man City's is 50. But again, Man City has 34 games played, Arsenal with 35. Man City has kicked it into high gear in the last month. Wins over Forest, Brighton, Luton, Crystal Palace, and Aston Villa. Just taking care of business in the last month with five consecutive victories, all of them being a multi-goal victory. So they are doing what they need to do and look like they are in championship form. They get a pesky game on Saturday against Wolves. That game is Saturday. It's sort of in the middle of the schedule. Wolves is just one of those teams that they're just challenging in for many reasons. They're pesky. They are They're just tough. They're just tough. And they sit in 11th place. They really have nothing to play for. Not in danger of being relegated, and they're not threatening to move towards any, you know, European championships or anything like that. So they're just kind of playing the schedule out. They have not been in great form themselves, losers of three of their last five. And their only win was against Luton last weekend. So really, Man City should have no problems. We're not even going to preview that game because we don't think it should be a challenge. But Wolves is just one of those teams. Not sure that you want to be playing them at the end of the season because you don't know what they're going to bring. Liverpool sits in third. And boy, are they a story. We're going to be covering them at the end of the episode. But to set the scene, they have played 35 matches as well. They sit in third with 75 points. Now, everybody's basically saying that this is a two-team race now with Arsenal and Man City, and Liverpool doesn't really have a shot at all now to take home the crown in Jurgen Klopp's last year. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know. Well, maybe I'll put it this way. I don't know if it's as extreme as a lot of analysts are saying that it is, but a lot of these analysts know what they're talking about. So it could be that they are just out of it. And part of the reason I think that analysts are saying this, it's not so much that the point is insurmountable. At least I don't think so. 75 to 80. I know there's so few games, but you got to play the games. So there's still a sliver of hope, but it's more how Liverpool has been playing and what is going on within that clubhouse that has analysts saying it's over for Liverpool. We'll get more into that when we cover their match at the bottom of the show. Aston Villa's fourth comfortably at 67 points. Tottenham's fifth with 60. Man U sixth with 54 points. Newcastle 53 and Chelsea sits in 8th with 51. Newcastle does play Burnley. That's going to be one of the three games that we cover. They could still get into that 6th spot. I think Chelsea could as well. So still the future to play for those teams. Man U, Newcastle and Chelsea. Another sort of interesting fight for 6th place in the middle of the standings here with Villa and Tottenham seemingly pretty secure in their fourth and fifth positions. When we go to the bottom of the table, we have Everton in 15th and Brentford in 16th, comfortably out of relegation zone, so they're fine. And, you know, Everton especially, they were, it was an interesting story, sort of middle of the year, how close they were to being relegated, especially after they lost those 10 points. But then they got back some of those points on appeal. It was reduced to 6. And again, this was a violation of profitability and sustainability rules within the Premier League. And so they are, again, comfortable. They're in 15th place. You know, they've been in the Premier League for so long. They rarely get relegated. So that was a story, but it seems to have faded away. But the story now is Nottingham, Luton, and Burnley. So we've got Nottingham Forest in 17th place. They were deducted 4 points for the same violation that Everton went under, and that decision is currently under appeal. Nottingham has, or Forest has 26 points. Luton sits in 18th at 25, and Burnley sits in 19th at 24. Burnley is really fighting hard to get out of relegation zone. They've only lost 1 of their last 5 matches, including a crucial 4-1 win against Sheffield. They drew even with Wolves, they drew even with Brighton, and they drew even with Man U last week. So they're accumulating points, albeit at a slow pace. They might want to see if they can find a victory at the end here, but their schedule is fairly challenging, including this Newcastle match this weekend. Luton in 18th, losers of 3 straight. They just seem to be fatiguing down the stretch. 5-1 loss to Brentford on April 20th. That followed a 5-1 loss to Man City. They lost last time out to Wolves, so they've got to find some points somewhere. They get Everton, a team that has shown very good form recently, winners of 4 of 5. So depending on what Everton, how they prepare for that match. They really don't have anything to play for anymore since they're not in danger of being relegated and they're not going anywhere. We'll see how that shakes out, but that'll be one to watch this weekend as well. So again, at the bottom of the table, we have Nottingham in 17th, for now safe from relegation at 26 points. Luton is at 25, and Burnley is at 24. All of them have played 35 matches, so they're just three left. And when we think about this in terms of who will get relegated, Burnley's the one that I'm concerned about. Yes, they have been in better form and they are accumulating points, but their schedule is pretty tough. So the way it works is bottom three get relegated and the top three from the championship get promoted. And right now, if we're looking at the championship standings, Leicester City will be back. They have clinched their spot in the Premier League next year. So that's good for Leicester fans. And then two other spots are up for grabs. It looks like Ipswich Town, which was just promoted to Championship League this year, looks like they will grab that second spot. They're only 1 point from doing so. So that would be just a meteoric rise for them. That's a really fun story. And then that third team right now, it's looking like Leeds United will be the favorite to be promoted, but they'll have to get through the playoffs in order to earn that promotion. So it looks like Ipswich Town will be that second team, but still to be determined. I don't believe that they've officially clinched just yet. And then the championship, the playoffs, will take place throughout May to find out who that third team will be who enters into the Premier League next season. Okay, so that is setting the scene for our three matches this weekend, the first, or the ones that we're covering at least. The first match that we're going to get to is Arsenal versus Bournemouth, and I'm going to use DraftKings odds here to set the scene for you for each of these three games that we are covering today on Premier League Payoff. So we've got Arsenal and Bournemouth. This game is at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and it is airing on USA, so you will be able to watch this. Current odds are Arsenal minus 450, Bournemouth is plus 1,000, and the draw is plus 650. Now, there's a lot of people in the, I guess, soccer analyst space who are big fans of this Bournemouth team. The way they've been playing, they got, okay, let's just talk about Bournemouth for a second here. They got off to a horrendous start this year, and I think that's why so many people have been so impressed with how they've recovered. It's almost as if they, it's been overlooked how well they've been playing for much of the second half of the season because of how poorly they started. So when we look at their results, it's almost laughable. You look at them to start the season. August, they had, let's see, a 1-1 draw, a 3-1 loss, and a 2-0 loss. Then September, 2-2 draw, 0-0 draw, 3-1 loss, 4-0 loss. October, loss, loss, win. Their first win of the season came October 28th. That was against Burnley, and that was after 9 matches. So their first win came 9 matches into the season, and then they played Man City on November 4th and lost 6-1. So mid-November, really, I mean, this team, I mean, people were, I don't know if they were talking this way, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were. Like, Bournemouth looked like they were a team that might be fighting to stay in the Premier League, but they have really turned it on. They've been the fifth best team points-wise in the league since November, and that actually includes that 6-1 loss. So there's a lot to like about this Bournemouth team sort of moving forward into next season. I mean, if you think about how poorly they started this year, right? They've been the fifth best team since November, and they're still in 10th. And they only have 48 points, right? 13 wins, 13 losses, and 9 draws. So they've certainly recovered from a horrendous start. They did have another decently long losing streak this season. So I don't know. I think this team is really hard to read. I don't buy in as much to positivity, I guess, around this Bournemouth team that some other analysts do. But I get why they do. I mean, if we, again, so they had that horrendous start to the season where they didn't win until October 28th. They also had a longer stretch this year where they went from the end of the year, December 31st, to March 3rd without winning. And that covered 7 matches. So they're very up and down. I mean, they had a stretch from right after that Man City game in November. They had a stretch from November 11th to December 26th, where they won 6 of 7, and the only other game there was a draw to Aston Villa, and that included a win against Man U. So, yeah, they're up and down, to say the least, and I think it's hard to trust them, quite honestly, even though their form has been better, particularly in the second half of the season. When they played earlier this year, Arsenal and Bournemouth, back in September, it was a 4-0 win for Arsenal. And as we talked about with Arsenal's form, they have been playing very well with wins in 4 of their last 5, but a scary one, 3-2 against Tottenham their last time out. Arteta called it a very emotional win. Tottenham, one of their bigger rivals, and it was, I think he was just thankful to get through that match and get the 3 points rather than 1. Because if they, you know, if they'd let Tottenham come all the way back, then they're sitting in second place with an additional game played versus Man City. Not where they need to be. They needed to make sure they got that, and they did. So what's the bet here, and what is it that we're looking at? So despite Bournemouth's resurgence this year, right? I told you I'm not as bought in on that resurgence because they did suffer another losing streak in the middle of the season. And the other thing that concerns me is how they play against the top of this table. They haven't shown an ability to compete with the best of the best in the league. I already told you they got blown out by Arsenal earlier in the season, and they only have 1 point against the top 5 in the league. 1 point out of 9 matches, this one being the 10th, to conclude their season against the top 5. And in those 9 matches, they've conceded 28 goals. So that's a ton of goals to concede. And that's not to say that this is going to be a blowout by any means. They are playing better, and they're scoring, right? The thing about Bournemouth in the second half of the season is that they are scoring. They've scored in their last 10 contests and 14 out of their last 15, dating back to the beginning of February. And the only time they didn't score was a shutout loss to Man City, a match that I watched and that they played pretty decently, at least defensively. You know, they didn't get a ton of opportunities to get one in the back of the net, but it showed their improved form that they've shown throughout this second half of the season. So what to make of this match? Well, I think there's a lot to think through. And quite honestly, it is a little bit confusing to make a play here. But the one play that I really like is I think that both teams will score. Okay. Right now on DraftKings, that's at minus 125. That's going to be our first recommendation for this match. There's no way Arsenal's not scoring. I think Arsenal's going to win. They tend to step it up in circumstances like this, where when there's pressure for championships and things of that nature, they tend to show up and play very well. So I think that they do win. And I do think they will concede a goal, though. One, because of the goal-scoring streak that Bournemouth has been on. But two, the difficulty that Arsenal has keeping clean sheets. And so that's going to be our first play. And if you want to look at players who will potentially score, I have a couple recommendations. Some of the odds here for these players I don't think are worth it from a return standpoint. I'm looking at the goal scorer props now. Somebody like Bukayo Saka, who we have supported in the past, his anytime goal scoring odds now is plus 105. Gabriel Jesus is plus 120. We just think these odds are a little too short, given the depth that we have on this Arsenal roster. We think there might be a little bit more value in some other players who can score and have shown an ability to do so. And the player that we like for Arsenal to score, at least relative to the odds, is Martin Odegaard. It's plus 200 right now. So that's the second play that we're going to go with, Martin Odegaard to score. He is averaging 2.67 shots per contest in April. And he has had a very good campaign, which includes 8 goals. He's scoring basically every third match since the beginning of March, and this would be the third match. He didn't score in their blowout win against Chelsea, and he did not score in the Tottenham affair either. So if we continue the pattern with Odegaard, he's due for a goal. And again, those odds relative to the other playmakers on this squad, we like the best. So we're going with Martin Odegaard, plus 200 to score. The second play that we like, when we look at the Bournemouth roster, right, if we think they're going to score, right, scoring in 14 of their last 15 contests, not necessarily even to win or maybe not even be competitive in this match, but if we think that they're going to score, then we look at some of the players who might be the goal scorers on this roster. Now, Dominic Solanke stands out given the fact that he has 18 goals on the season. And his odds aren't bad at plus 260, but there's somebody on the board that we like a little bit better, and that is Justin Kluivert. He has 7 goals on the season for Bournemouth, but has scored in 3 of his last 6 and is shooting the ball a lot. At least 2 shots in his last 7 contests, and they seem to be going to him more. So shots on target as well. He's got 2 shots on target in 4 of his last 6. So we like Justin Kluivert to score for Bournemouth, at least relative to the odds at plus 450. We like them much better than Solanke, despite Solanke being the most prolific goal scorer on the squad. The way Kluivert has been playing this last, say, month to 2 months, we're going to ride that momentum. So to wrap up this match, Arsenal versus Bournemouth, again, 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time on USA on Saturday. Both teams to score at minus 125 is our first play. Martin Odegaard to score at plus 200. And Justin Kluivert to score at plus 450. We'd probably put a full unit on both teams to score, half a unit on Odegaard and half a unit on Kluivert. So the second match we're covering is Burnley versus Newcastle. This game is not on TV, at least not what I could find. It is at 10 a.m. Eastern time. USA is going to air the Sheffield United versus Forest match at that time. So you can watch that for a what should be a thrilling competition in a fight to stay out of relegation, right? Sheffield, I don't know. They don't really have anything to fight for. They're doomed to relegation, but Forest really needs that win. So it could be an interesting match. Forest is minus 145 in that one. We'll see how it shakes out. But again, we're going to be talking about Burnley versus Newcastle here. So 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Odds are Burnley plus 235. Newcastle is plus 100. And the draw is plus 300. When we look at Newcastle, they are one of the more prolific scoring teams in the Premier League, sitting in seventh place. Remember, they're still chasing Manchester United for that sixth spot, only 1 point behind them, and they have a massive goal differential advantage. They are plus 19, whereas Manchester United is plus one on the season. Their 74 goals for Newcastle puts them fourth in the Premier League overall. So they have a ton of firepower led by Alexander Isak, who's tied for fourth in the league with 19 goals, and he's got nine in his last eight games, so he's kind of on fire. And when they played Burnley back in September, he scored in that match as well. As we mentioned, Burnley's form is improving in an attempt to stay out of the relegation zone, but they're only picking up points by point rather than getting them through wins. But either way, you know, a point, hell, better than a loss. So they have been playing better, and they've needed to, in order to give some meaning to these matches at the end of the season. But again, Newcastle's kind of the, it feels like it's a little bit of the wrong team right now for Burnley to run into. If Newcastle were like 10th, that'd be one thing, but they still have that place with Manchester United to play for, in hoping, you know, to get that European qualification next year. So that makes me think that Newcastle might really just go off in this match. They've got Callum Wilson back. He's been back for a couple games now. He was out for a long time, a couple months. He had surgery on his pectoral tendon. I don't know how much he plays. They have so much depth scoring-wise that they may not need him. He would be a bet that we would stay away from an individual player point, just because we don't know how much he's going to play. He has played in their last two matches, but again, was out for so long prior to that. So the bet we are going to make, we like Anthony Gordon in this one. He's cashed for us in the past. There's a bet out there to score or give an assist on DraftKings that has Anthony Gordon at plus 120. And that is going to be our first play. Gordon is one of the more versatile players on this squad, and that's why we like those odds, because it affords us the opportunity for him to either get a goal or an assist, just basically accumulate a point, right? He's got 10 goals and 9 assists on the season, and when you look at his most recent track record, he's only scored one goal in his previous six, but he's got assists in 3 of the last 6, so we like those odds for Gordon to get on the scoreboard somehow against a Burnley team that doesn't really defend set pieces all that well. And so sets up a lot of scoring opportunities, we think, in this one for Newcastle that's outside just the flow of regular play. The other bet we're looking at is Newcastle over 1.5 goals at minus 155. Those aren't the best odds, but we can't see that not happening. And given the fact that we've taken some risk elsewhere with some individual players like Justin Kluivert and Martin Odegaard for the Arsenal-Bournemouth match, we're going to go a little bit safer here in game two. We can't imagine Newcastle not scoring a couple times against this Burnley squad. So to score or give an assist, Anthony Gordon plus 120. We think he'll be involved all game long. And then Newcastle over 1.5 goals at minus 155. If you think both teams to score, I understand it. We're just not that confident in Burnley to score, despite the fact that Newcastle does let up goals, and especially away from home. We just don't know who's going to be that goal scorer for Burnley. Nobody on their squad has more than 5 goals. So we're just not as confident in that, maybe as it looks on paper like it would happen. We're just going to stay away from that. We don't know that Burnley has enough firepower, despite their desperation, to score, period. Even though Newcastle, you know, they have only had two clean sheets away from home. They let up over two goals a game. But it's Burnley, so we're not going to go there for them. We like Newcastle's firepower. Over 1.5 goals, minus 155. That's going to be our first play. And Anthony Gordon to get on the scoreboard somehow via a goal or an assist at plus 120. Our third match is Liverpool and Tottenham. So the odds on this one, let me just double check as we're live here to see that it's the same as what I have in my notes. Yes, it is. Okay. So Liverpool's minus 225 on DraftKings. Tottenham's plus 500 and the draw is plus 450. This is at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday, May 5th, 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, and it's on Peacock. Both these teams are riddled with motivation questions for this match. This is one of those matches that at the beginning of the year, you see it at the end and you're excited. It's one that you highlight on your calendar. It's one that is appointment viewing, and the season just did not work out that way for either one of these teams, especially Liverpool at the end of the season. There has been a lot of drama with this team. We're going to get into a little bit of that now before we get into some of the details of the match. Now, we talked about Liverpool and how most of the season they were in first, and they were in conversation for championship. This is Jurgen Klopp's swan song, and it felt a little storybook. It felt a little fairy tale with the way the season was going. It almost felt like destiny that Liverpool was going to upset the oddsmakers' favorites in Man City and take home the title. But they've only won once in their last five matches, including a 1-0 loss on the 14th of April to Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace sits in 14th in the table, and a loss 2-0 on the 24th to Everton. Everton sits in 15th in the table. So two losses that Liverpool did not need. They had a draw even with West Ham and a draw with Man U. Also in this month, their only win, a 3-1 win against Fulham. So what's been going on with this team, and what's the explanation for their poor play? Well, we know again that Klopp is leaving. This announcement's been out there for a while. So if you're not familiar, it's not as if the squad, that this was a surprise, right? He announced this at the end of January, and he's not doing anything in the soccer world. He's taking a break, and he has expressly said, coaching-wise, that Liverpool would be the only team that he would coach. Now, who knows if that would, you know, if opportunities present themselves. You never know if that's the case. But that is what he has said publicly, and they won the Carabao Cup this year. That final took place about a month after his announcement. They beat Chelsea in that final. It was at the end of February, and things were looking very positively for this for the Reds. But that all changed, especially in the last month. There's rumors of Mohamed Salah leaving, and even worse, in this draw against West Ham, and everybody saw it, and it's been all over the press. They basically, Salah and Klopp had a fight along the sidelines before Salah was entering that match against West Ham. And things got so heated that Darwin Nunez had to step in and separate Salah from Klopp. Klopp immediately squashed any drama to the press right afterwards, saying the matter had been dealt with in the dressing room. But clearly not everybody is convinced that that is the case. Current pundit Graham Souness, who was a former Liverpool star, I think that's how you say his name, but if you are a Liverpool expert, feel free to correct me. He said that Salah, his observation on a podcast, that he's the most selfish player he's ever seen, and that he disappears when the going gets tough. Salah has not been the same since he's come back. He was out for a bit. He has 2 goals in his last 8 contests within the Premier League since returning from his injury. And Souness went on to say that Salah has an exceptionally large opinion of himself, and he openly speculated that he was going to join the Saudi Pro League, where he'll be the biggest star in that part of the world, which is true. Furthermore, it's not just Salah that's under the microscope for the Reds. We've got Virgil van Dijk, their star defenseman. He's been linked to go to Bayern Munich, and a whole host of other teams are interested in his service. The Saudi team Al-Qadisha has been rumored as a potential destination for Van Dijk. He, for his part, has dealt with this speculation quite well in the press. He has said that he is very happy with the direction that Liverpool is taking after Klopp's resignation. The assumption is that Dutch manager Arne Slot will be the new manager for Liverpool, and Van Dijk has expressed confidence in that decision by the organization. But again, that doesn't mean that he will be sticking around through the summer and into next season. All of this strife and all of this tension has translated on the pitch to poor performance and poor play. They can't keep clean sheets. They haven't had one since March 2nd in league play, and that coincides directly with Salah's return from injury. I don't know that they are necessarily related, but there's at least a parallel there. And that only clean sheet was against Forest, who's 17th in the league in goals scored. So can we still profit from betting Liverpool the rest of the season? I would understand if there is some skittishness concerning Liverpool moving forward, but I think that there is a bet here that is worthy of consideration, and we will get into that now. Let's switch over to Tottenham. They may have more to play for than Liverpool does. I mean, it's a tricky spot for Tottenham. They've got 60 points. They've only played 34 matches as well, just like Man U. They're 6 points ahead of them, so you would think that that cushion would be comfortable, but with that extra game that each of them has to play, it's you'd rather be safe than sorry and collect wins where you can. And with this Liverpool team being a little bit more vulnerable than they looked 2 months ago, this could be an opportunity for Tottenham to grab 3 points rather than one, or just lose altogether. Tottenham hasn't shown the best form themselves recently. They've lost 3 straight. They lost 2-0 to Chelsea. They lost 3-2 to Arsenal and 4-0 to Newcastle, winning only one of their last 5. So they've undergone their own sort of internal drama as well, not to the extent of the publicity that we've seen with Liverpool, but you know, they're certainly shaky as well. But the type of game that both Liverpool and Tottenham like to play maybe will suit Tottenham a little bit better than their most recent opponents. Both are quite aggressive. I would imagine lots of goals in this match. Both teams combined have failed to score in just 5 of their 68 matches. That is a pretty telling stat. And they are 2 of the top both teams to score teams in the league. Tottenham at 76% and Liverpool at 69%. So you might want to look at total goals as a bet. It is high in this one though. So as we look, I'll find that and relay that to you. It's not going to be a play of ours, but you might want to look at it as like an alternate play if we've got some interesting odds to consider. Let me pull that up, and then I'll get to the play that I have recommended. So it's 3.5 total goals at minus 150. So not a ton of profit. I know we had a minus 155 earlier in the Newcastle. It's something to consider if you want to move that up to 4.5. It gets you plus 145. If you see this being like a 3-2 kind of affair, which I don't think is out of the question, then that might be worth a little bit of a gamble. It's just a matter of how motivated Liverpool is going to be to take on this Tottenham squad. I mean, they're favored minus 225 still. So the odds makers think that Liverpool is fine. But you know, recent track record, I don't know. They don't seem to be going together there. So that could be a consideration if you're confident that Liverpool is going to score. I'm confident that Tottenham will score. And if Liverpool shows up and plays the way they should, over 3.5 at minus 150, certainly a way to go. The play that we're going with here is a little bit of an odd, or not maybe odd, but probably a bet that not a lot of people are making on the individual player side. It's a shot prep with James Maddison. We like him for two or more shots at minus 110. He's got 50 shots in 23 contests this year, so over that two figure. And he's shot two-plus times in four of his last five contests in the month. So he is showing to be more aggressive in the final month, and they're getting him opportunities to get those shots. And we like those odds better than some of the players ahead of him, like Son is minus 150, Richarlison's minus 150, Trent Alexander-Arnold minus 125. Like, we like James Maddison at minus 110 better than all those players. And so that's the play that we're going for in this match, James Maddison, two or more shots at minus 110. That's the only play we're going with officially with Liverpool-Tottenham. If you want to do over goals, we would not fault you for that. But we're not completely convinced on the Liverpool side team-wise how they're going to play, so we're staying away from that. So this was a little bit of a longer episode than I thought for just three matches. But let's do a quick review and get out of here. So our first match, Arsenal versus Bournemouth. We've got three bets, both teams to score at minus 125. Martin Odegaard to score anytime, plus 200. Justin Kluivert to score anytime, plus 450. Burnley versus Newcastle. We've got Anthony Gordon to get on the board via a goal or an assist at plus 120. And Newcastle over 1.5 goals at minus 155. And then our final play in Liverpool and Tottenham. James Maddison, two or more shots at minus 110. So that'll do it for this episode of Premier League Payoff. Enjoy all the contests this weekend. If you have Peacock, remember, you can watch Liverpool and Tottenham at 11:30 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. The Arsenal match is on early on Saturday, 7:30 a.m. So you can set your reminders on your television sets to wake up, essentially, for that Arsenal-Bournemouth match again, 7:30 Eastern on Saturday on USA. So thanks for listening to this episode of Premier League Payoff. We will be back next weekend with additional coverage of the Premier League as it winds down for an exciting race at the top and at the bottom. Until then, thanks for listening.